get on the good side of the one who has got control of all the money. Minimum effort, maximum amount of dosh. So I started thinking to myself, who are the people in the world who did the least work to get the most money? So I started thinking, turning through all my history lessons. I started thinking about the Industrial Revolution. Oof, that's a lot of work there. The American dream, you know, rags to riches, drag yourself up, work so hard, become a millionaire. No, wait. The Japanese, all they do is work, you know? And then I said, wait a minute. Those guys in Saudi Arabia, they've been sitting on their camels for what, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, praying to God, praying to Allah, and they've got all this oil and all this money. I said, there's got to be something in that religion. I said, that's the one. Minimum effort, maximum money. So I said, now what's their book? And I remembered, yeah, in Egypt, that's the Muslims, that's the Quran, isn't it? Yeah. So I went down to the bookshop, I got myself a copy of the Quran, and I started to read the Quran. Now I'm a fast reader. I used to be very fast, because in Egypt the TV was rubbish, so all we did was read. I read, do you know Roots? Have you ever read Roots? I know some of you may have read Roots. You know, that's a big book. I read about 3/4 of that in one night. I admit I had read a Stephen King novel called Carrie before it, and I was so scared I couldn't go to sleep. But I did manage to get through 3/4 of Roots one night. That's how fast I can read. I could. I'm not quite that fast anymore. Now, how big is the Quran? Just in terms of its words. It's not very big, right? I mean, in terms of the amount of words, it's maybe the size of a small novel. Or a medium-sized novel. 2 weeks, I'm reading the Quran. Morning, evening, on the train going to work, every minute I have. 2 weeks and I still haven't finished it. I'm reading it and I'm saying, wait a minute, I have to think about this. And I go back and I read it and I say, whoa, let me go back and I have to read that again. So every time I was going back again. And then I was going, and it was just totally, it was like no book I have ever read before in my life. It was totally blowing my mind. And I remember until this day, I was on a train going to work over the River Thames. The train was passing. I looked out of the window. I looked at the translation of the Quran I had. And I said to myself, if I have ever read a book that is from God, this is the one. Alhamdulillah. So I went back that night. I didn't know how to pray, but the Quran tells you, you know, bowing and washing, and I did what I could. And that's how I started. And then one day, I just happened to go to a mosque. I was walking, I was supposed to go left, and I went right, out of the tube station. I was supposed to go left, I went right, and on the right, Finsbury Park, there it was, and I saw these books, Islamic books. I said, that looks interesting, let me go inside there. Now let me tell you something just quickly about myself, how I used to look in those days. I was a life assurance salesman, but remember I was into psychosomatic yoga and like new age philosophy. So I had a beard, I had long hair down to my shoulders, and I wore a pinstripe suit and a tie. Right? No wonder I didn't sell much life insurance, right? So there I was standing in this bookshop, right? Looking at all these books, Muhammad and this and that and whatever, and whoa, this is interesting. This guy comes up to me and he says, Assalamu alaikum. And I'm looking, because I remember that from Egypt, you know, Assalamu alaikum. So I don't think I said anything, I just looked at him. He said, are you a Muslim? I said, what do you mean, Muslim? He said, I tell you what, I believe there is no God except Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. He said, you're a Muslim. I said, oh, thanks a lot. He said, yeah, you're a Muslim. I said, yeah, really? Oh, okay, is that what you call it, you know? So he says, okay, why don't you come with me? We're going to pray. We're just going to pray. So he took me down and taught me how to make wudu. And I prayed with all the Muslims. You know, they were doing, I'm saying, what's what I'm supposed to do? But I tell you, it was amazing. I remember coming out after the prayer. Everyone wanted to tell me the whole of Islam in like 5 minutes. Not like me and Sheikh Yakubu here, you know. 5 minutes they wanted to, brother, and they were writing me down the prayer, and you say this, and then you say that, and this and that, and I was just like, these people are great. I said, I thought Christians were supposed to be nice and kind and loving, but I found these people were better than the Christians. You know, they were what Christians were supposed to be. I said, these people are amazing. I remember coming out of that mosque, feeling like someone had given me a shower from the inside. Totally amazing. So people ask me, okay, how about your mum and dad? That was a difficult one. It actually took me quite a while to really start practicing Islam. But when I did, I have to say my mum and dad did not take it very well. In fact, I started practicing Islam when I was staying with them. My mum and dad happened to live in Portugal. They're not Portuguese, they just live there. Lots of rich English people go to retire in the Algarve in Portugal, right? It's nice and sunny and stuff, and golf. So I went to stay with them. I was particularly miserable at the time due to girlfriend problems. And I was a Muslim, by the way. At least this is something very important. Because when someone says, I have, you know, I believe in my heart. Well, I believed in my heart. People ask me, you know, and when I used to, astaghfirullah, when I think, I used to be at parties, drunk, telling people about Islam. And I remember once I was saying, I wish I could tell you more, but you know, I'm so drunk, I can't, but it's a great religion. And the people saying that, yeah, tell us more. And I couldn't, because I was just, you see, I didn't practice Islam. I didn't pray, I didn't fast, but I kept telling people, there's this great religion, Islam, but it didn't do anything, it didn't change my life at all. In fact, I was more miserable, because I knew the truth, and I didn't follow the truth. And the worst person is the one who knows the truth and doesn't follow it. So I was really miserable. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided me back to Islam. He guided me back. And I started practicing Islam when I was at my parents' house. And then things got difficult. Because they didn't mind me saying I was a Muslim and not doing anything. Not praying, not eating halal meat, still drinking alcohol. I mean, nothing about me changed. I just said, yeah, I'm a Muslim, I believe in that. But when I started changing my life, that's when the problems came. I remember my mum one day came knocking on the door. And she sat down. She said, I just thought I'd let you know that we've instructed the solicitors to take you out of the inheritance. Thanks, mum. But you know, wallahi, I didn't care. If my parents said to me, walk out of the house, we don't want to see you again, I didn't care. I knew totally that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look after me. I knew it. Things got bad. My parents basically told me, go back to England. So I went back. Alhamdulillah. I met up with the Muslims. And things went through a bad patch with my parents. But like I always tell the brothers and the sisters who come back to Islam, alhamdulillah, you know, because we're all born Muslim, right? We just come back to it. So the people who come back to Islam, I said, don't worry. Get married. Have kids. When your mum sees the little baby, that's it. All the hostility is going to go. That's my grandson. That's my granddaughter. And that's exactly what happened. You know, the moment my mum saw her first grandchild, that's it. And things have been really, really hunky-dory between us since then. You know, alhamdulillah. Really good. One final thing I want to say, brothers and sisters. People sometimes ask me, how does it feel to be a Muslim as compared to what before when you were not a Muslim? So I'd like to give you a similitude, an example. Imagine you lived in a huge building, a vast building. You're in this building and it is totally pitch black, totally dark. You cannot see anything. And this building is full of obstructions. Things that when you're walking, you hit it and it hurts you and it cuts you. It hits your head, hits your arm. You fall down, you cut yourself on something on the floor. So you're wandering through this building, and just wandering and wandering, and all the time, bam, you can imagine how slow you'd start going. Can you imagine you'd even be afraid to move? That's what kufr is like. That's what it's like to be a disbeliever. That's what it's like not to be guided by Allah's knowledge. Islam is like suddenly you put your door on this handle. You put your hand on this door handle, open the door, and you just stepped out into the daylight. That's how it is. Islam is like you stepped out into the daylight. Or even more, I would tell you, it's like the difference between being dead and being alive. And all praise is due to Allah who guided us to this religion of Islam. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.